We looked up yesterday, working with the assumption that Nechem every soon is a wonderful principle, but it meets its match in the sense of in Cheskes Isser. When something we know for a fact used to be us, and now the Eidecha is coming to testify that Chazocha status quo has changed. So we passed in Allah that the Eidecha is not believed. That truth to be told, not everyone agreed to that. In fact, the Gemara in Gittin, the Beis wasn't sure about that. When the Gemara in Peches wasn't sure about that. Some Rishonim weren't so sure about that. But the Maisei Shulchan Aruch that's in the past. The Rabbi Rishonim assumes that an Eidecha is in fact not believed. But now we have to take the sugya one step further. What is covered? What is included? What is included under this heading of Eidechad not Neman Bisurin B'Makom Chazocha? So let's change the case a little bit. What would you say about the following halacha? I have a latest Asafe, and there's no Chazocha. But that was to be a rove. The odds are that this item is awesome. How I got to that rove, what statistics I'm using, that's not our sugya right now. I have a rove. Now we know in halacha, rove is a very, very powerful tool. What is the din? I have a latest asafek, and it's doing my study, doing my research. I came to the realization most probably this item is also. Comes in Eidachar and says, not true. I know for a fact that this item is mutter. Would we say that Eidachar never be surim? Or would we say, wait, embrace that for a second? Just as an Eidachar is not Neman in the presence of a Chazocha, so too an Eidachar should not be Neman in the presence of a Rov. There's no Gemara explicitly about that topic. That's a question that we have to raise on our own. What do we think the din should be?
If robes are deraisa, so once it falls into a robe of deraisa, then it would be able to have it.
Because you're looking at the world through the eyes of the Rambam of the Pnei Yeshua. You're 100% right. According to the Rambam of the Pnei Yeshua of yesterday, that Eidecha Nebisurin only works when there's no deraisa on the table, so then Henry's 100% right. But that was the Das Yochid. We thought that the Parshat shot was, is that, like Shita Zatosus, that Eidecha Nebisurin is really Exer Sakosov, and it really should work, unless there's something that's blocking it. So the question is, what is that something that's blocking it? So in Chazal, in Gid Naveis, Yivam Mishnah Peches, the only principle that we have identified explicitly in Chazal that blocks, that prevents Eidecha Nebisurin, is Chazocha. We're raising a question, what's the din vis-a-vis Rove? Is Rove also have the ability to prevent that Eidecha Nebisurin, or perhaps not? So you have to bring yourselves back now into 10th grade, back to the first day of geometry. A is greater than B, B is greater than C, therefore A is greater than C. I'll tell you a secret, my daughter, Lisa, she was taking geometry, she was asking me that. Every isosceles triangle, every angle, and every two, I don't remember any, it was one big blur from 10th grade. The only thing I remember was the first day. Because I use the cloud all the time. A is greater than B, B is greater than C, therefore A is greater than C. So come to the Yehuda. I don't know whether the geometry of Prague in the 1700s, but basically applied this principle. Says to the Yehuda, if Eidecha is not believed against the Chazocha, then that's tantamount to saying that Chazocha is more powerful than Eidecha. So a Chazocha is a stronger force, a stronger factor in Halacha. Rove against the Chazocha, the Gemara tells us in Maseches Kiddushin, Ruba v'chazocha, Ruba adif. So we know that if chazocha is greater than Eidecha, and Rov is greater than chazocha, so transitive property of geometry teaches us that therefore Rov is greater than Eidecha. And therefore comes in the Nevi and says, although there's no Gemara about it, nowhere in Shas, because I'll say this, says the Nevi, I don't need a Gemara. It's geometry, it's bunch of simple logic, that of course in Eidecha is not going to work against the Rov. That was the famous Pesach in the Nevi. So came along the Sheikh Shmaitza and says, not so simple. Sheikh Shmaitza, the Balak Tzos, comes to Sheikh Shmaitza and says, not so simple. But maybe the principles of geometry, of transitive properties, are not applicable over here for the following reason. There's a big difference between a Rov and a Chazocha. There's a huge distinction between what an Eidecha is trying to do when he's going up against the Chazocha or when he's trying to go up against the Rov. When an Eidecha goes up against the Chazocha, he is conceding that the Chazocha was true at one time. I don't need him to concede it. Everybody knows that's what Chazocha means. We know these were the facts. So the Eidecha is coming forward and saying, yes, I admit, I agree the Chazocha was valid last week, but I'm telling you that this Chazocha has lost its steam. Something has changed. You may not know about it, but I know about it. The Chazocha has changed. And therefore, the Eidecha is, if you want to use almost like a rule from Dinei Mamonos, like a bond. So it's actually like a made of mitzvahs. Like I agree that the Chazaka had something to say about this topic, but I'm telling you that the Chazaka has changed. So al zed ne'amar in halacha, that for Neidecha to say that something has changed, who gave him the authority to say that? Going back to Tosas, from day one of the Sugya. The entire source of the Eidech and Ebisurin is a Chiddush HaTorah, the Sofala. Hilchus Nida is not a Chazaka for whatever lumbish reasons. Chazaka is a Lishtanos, Eidech Bechaz, Shirli Yaylam, Espia. Plug in everything we spoke about a month ago. Nida is not a Chazaka. So the Torah was only the Chadish to us that Eidech is believed when there's nothing else on the table. But the minute that the Eidech is saying that something changed, he just lost his authenticity. He doesn't have nemonas to say that something has changed. When Nerechid is going up against the Rove, he's not saying that anything's changed. What he's telling us is the Rove is true. The 83% is 100% true in the textbooks, but totally irrelevant to this case, because this is from the 17% that was not subject to the Rove. It's like Lamashal, Havdol. We'll try to plug it in into the world of medicine. If I say something wrong, so doctors, please give me a buy in this one. We're trying to diagnose this particular patient. You know, the symptoms are indicating, based on the textbook, okay, there's an 85% chance he probably has the following condition. Okay, so the Rove says he probably has it. But then we do the tests. The blood work comes out. He doesn't have that condition. What do you mean? How could you say that? But the Rove says that he is. That's very nice. But he's from the lucky 15% that doesn't have this condition. That's kimat what the Sheish Maitis says. I guess if we want to put it to our lingo, and then Yehuda is giving us a shiur in geometry, and the Sheish Maitis is giving us a shiur in medicine. He's saying that this case is not from the Rove. So the Erechid is not tackling the Rove. He's not attacking the Rove. He's not contradicting the Rove. He's just simply informing us that this particular case is not from that Rove. So fascinating, Machlaikis, the two Gedolei Acharonim, the Yehuda and the Sheish Maitis, which principle in the sense of logic should we plug in terms of analyzing this case? But let's go back now to the main thrust of Esugya, which is still to iron out an echad against Chazakas. So we're working with the assumption that an echad to try to change a Chazaka is not going to work. I'm going to flip things on you now. What if I don't have a Cheskes Isser, I have a Cheskes Heker? We know for a fact that this item used to be permissible. It was permissible yesterday, it was permissible last week, last 20 years, it's been mutter. Comes at Eidechad and says, I have news for you, it has changed, and now it has become usur. Can an Eidechad take on a cheskes heker? Or do I say, no, the same way that an Eidechad cannot take on a cheskes isur, he cannot take on a cheskes heker. So this shaila is less about Eidechad and more about the relationship of chazokas to one another. This concept of chazokas, up until now, we've been using it in one way, and now we're literally flipping it around and saying all the characteristics, all the qualities of chazokas that prevent an Eid Echad from testifying against it, does that carry over when the chazokas in the reverse? So we take a look back at the Ramah that we read yesterday, the seventh of the Marmakamos. So the Ramah tells us, in the second line of the Ramah, in the bold print, Ramah is very clear that if you want to invoke Eidechad and Bisurin, one thing you have to make sure, there's no Chazaka there. It doesn't make the slightest difference, says the Ramah, whether the Chazaka is for you, is against you, a Cheskes Heter, a Cheskes Isser, a Chazaka is a Chazaka is a Chazaka, and therefore an Eidechad is not Nebun. However, although this Ramah is actually quoting a Rosh in Masechet Gittin, this is not the only opinion on the matter. If you take a look at the fourth in Ramakamos, there is a Rashba on the 11th of the Ramakamos. The Rashba says, the first line, Hilkach, Lesor is Hamutar. When the Eidechad is simply coming to declare that which we thought was mutter, we knew was mutter, now the Eidechad is coming to change that. The Leika Lameimar is Chazik Hetera. There is no such thing as Cheskes Heter, Rashba just said. The Lo Amrina Le B'Shum Duchta. There is no such entity in halacha called the cheskes heter. But the achronim are startled by that statement of the Rashba because no such thing. We never heard of cheskes heter. There seem to be many Gemaras that talk about that. No, it doesn't exist under the Rashba. So the Rashba is difficult in and of itself, but we're going to try to just to understand in the limited sense right now. Rashba says the 11th of the Ma'amar Kamos, cheskes heter basically doesn't exist. Therefore, says Rashba, an Erechad is believed because when an Erechad is going up against the quote unquote Cheskes Heter, that is like going up in a vacuum against a nothing, and the Erechad has full fledged emunahs under those circumstances. Now we have a huge question as to what are the parameters, what are the limitations of this principle. So again, the principle on the table is an Erechad cannot be believed against the Chazocha. That's the principle we're working with. Now, again, we've already conceded many times that not everyone agrees to this, and the Gemara in the Beis is not even sure about this, and the Ramban argues it. But lemais and Shulchan Aruch, we pass in the halacha clear as day. A Echad is not believed against the Chazocha. Comes the Ramban says, what's the difference? Whether the Chazocha is heterally asserted, it's all the same thing. A Echad doesn't work, and the Rashba says no. There's a huge difference between the two. So what is the Bira Dabba? What is going on between the lines here? Why should we accept the view of the Ramah, perhaps, that a Cheskes Heter does exist and therefore an Erechad cannot be effective against it? Or should we go down the route of the Rashba, Erechad somehow, Chazocha doesn't work, Cheskes Heter doesn't exist, and an Erechad can be. What is going on? What is the nature of this Machlokes? Seems to be somewhat of an arbitrary Machlokes. Is there a thing called the Cheskes Heter or not? So Rabbi Chaim Wasserman develops a fundamental yisod, a very lumdish yisod, as to how to understand behind the scenes what's going on in this machlokes. We use the bottle of water as our example. So this bottle of water is kosher. It has an OU on it. I don't think it needs an OU on it, but it's a bottle of water that's kosher. So we have to do the following lumdish yisod. You have to really have to break your head a little bit to think through the lumdish yisod. Why is this bottle of water? What's the nature of this halacha? In Lomdus, this bottle of water is put in. So you can look at it one of two ways. You need to look at it where we have a whole list of different kashrus issues in halacha. We're going to go through the whole list. Is this water nevela? Nevela means an animal that wasn't shechted. An animal shechted. Is it a treifa? Is it chaylev? Is it dam? Is it orla? Is it kiliyat kerem? Is it petach hamor? I'll go through my list of 25 different cases of different non-kosher foods, and none of the above apply. If none of the above, go down back to the doctor at the list, they give you a list and you sign into the new doctor. Do you have the following conditions? The one XXX is enough. So the main list, you X everything. So by default, you're a kosher bottle of water. And the reason why, conceptually, numbersly, philosophically, why the water is mutter is because there's nothing wrong with it. So the main list. There's a phrase, everything's mutter until proven usher. So there's nothing to say. It's not us for this, not us for that, not for that. So the main list can be mutter. What do I say now?
So how
does that work? That's the next figure. 100% right. Shechita is going up against the Chazacha. That's what's called biyado. Whenever he has the ability to shech, that trumps everything. We have to go to the next figure to figure out how in the world that works. Or maybe there's something deeper that's going on here. Water is not just mutter because it doesn't have a negative characteristic. Being a Dover HaMutter is actually a positive characteristic. There is something here. Being Mutter is not just because there's an absence of a problem. Being Mutter is something positive. It's like a very, like the philosophers talk about it. Is darkness the absence of light? Or is darkness a Achal Hashem? Not just an absence of light. So what is the nature of a Dover HaMutter? Is a Dover HaMutter simply lacking Isser? Or is a Dover HaMutter actually something that has positive characteristics? All the Nefkamina in the world. And the Erechad comes up against a Chazaka. Is he going against something? Remember, the idea, the limitation of Erechad is an Erechad can't challenge a status. That was the problem why an Erechad can't challenge a Chazaka. If you hold, then the Cheskes Heter doesn't really exist, like Lashon Rashba. When the Erechad testifies against a Cheskes Heter, he's not testifying against some quality. He's not taking on a positive characteristic. It's a blank. It's mutter by default because there's nothing negative here. The minute that the Erechid comes and gives us information, the Erechid is talking in a vacuum. But the oldest second son, that Heter is not just a lack of Isser. Heter means it's a Heft for Heter. It's Chal on it. It has a big kosher mark on it. Water is kosher, not because it's not kosher. Water is kosher because it's kosher. Therefore, when the Erechid comes against that status of kasherus, Erechid doesn't have the ability to do that. The same way the Erechid cannot tackle a cheskes issa. Very, very long shishayla. Some may remember we spoke a little bit about this in the past. There was a tzchulin that we touched on a little bit last year, also in a little bit of a different context. There is an igyantif, Gedolei Acharonim, Shazachus and igyantif, who's a Rav of Bialystok. So the Shazachus and igyantif is a following fascinating shayla. We know that when you have two pieces of tray for food, one piece of tray food gets mixed with two pieces of kosher food. There are three pieces of food on the table. One of them we know is tray, two of them we know are kosher, and now they all get mixed in. I can't tell one from the other. So Minatora, you can eat them. Minatora, it's all bottle. Could be Midrabonet's bottle. That bitterly surim, chad betray bottle. The other is the following shot. What's the din if I have three matzahs on the table? They're all kosher Pesach. Two of them were baked l'shei matzahs mitzvah, and one of them wasn't. Can I take one and say, no problem, it's bottle berov? Does bitl berov work to make something into being baked l'shma or not? The original case in the other was, I have three piles of strings here. Two of them were made for the purpose of tzitzis, and one of them wasn't. Can I just take one of them and say, well, it's bitl berov? So the other suggests that bitl berov means that you can remove characteristics. Bitl berov, listen to what the word means. Bitl, it's bottle. The negative characteristic that you had becomes bottle berov. Who said that bittul has the ability to grant characteristics? Who said that bittul can be used to make the matzahs lishma, to make the tzitz lishma? That's a big, big discussion in the Gedolei Acharonim. There is a machlekes in Rishonim. Does bittul apply to a davar hamutter? What's the din if you flip the numbers? I have two pieces of treif of meat and one piece of kosher meat, and they all get mixed in. Do I say that the kosher meat is bottle berov? And now if I eat any one of them, I'm chayv malchus because I ate something that's treif? Or do I say no? I can't eat it because it's a safek. But there's no such thing. Bittul berov doesn't make sense in a davar hamutter. Why shouldn't bittul berov make sense in a davar hamutter? So according to this understanding of what we're saying, it makes a lot of sense that bittul berov may work to remove characteristics. Bittul berov doesn't grant characteristics. If being mutter is a characteristic, it's a character trait, then it lends itself to bittul. If being mutter is not a character trait, it's an absence of a character trait, then the entire parasha of bittul doesn't make any sense. A very, very deep esoteric love the shechakiras. Getting back to our story in terms of chumash. Let's put this into real life now. It is very possible that an erechad is believed against the cheskes heter. It is very possible that an Erechid is not believed against Gezer. It's unclear. Rashba, Ramah, Rosh, Lomdus, unclear what the answer to this question is. Comes the Sheikh Shmaikza. That's a long, long Sheikh Shmaikza. Those are a lot of time on their hands. And the 13th of Ramah Kamas spend most of the day reading this through the same Sheikh Shmaikza. Comes the Sheikh Shmaikza and addresses something which we think it's such a milsa of the pshit that's so obvious, we wouldn't have thought about it in a million years. That was a godless Sheish Maitza. So all the things that we thought were partial to Sheish Maitza actually sat around and analyzed. There's the following shadow. It's going to sound familiar to something we spoke about a few weeks ago, but hang in for a moment to pick up on the nuance of the difference. The person comes home, and his wife informs him of the following information, that she just became a nida. This is not the case we spoke about. We spoke in the past. She informed him that she's no longer there. This is the reverse. Comes home and she informs him, I just got my period. I just became a nida. I'm going to ask a strange question. What is the halacha? Is she believed or is she not believed? So let's just analyze it literally based on all the rules that we've been talking about. Should she be menace to make such a statement or not? So the ora, she has a cheskas heter. We know that she was muteris yesterday. We know she was muteris last week. He knows she went to 52 weeks ago. So he has been knowing for the last 2 weeks that she has been muteris. And now when she comes forward and says, I am no longer muteris, what she is basically doing is going up against a cheskas heter. Is an erechad neman, or in this case, the menes, against the Cheskes Hefer or not. So if you put all pieces of this puzzle together, says the Sheish Maitza, if you follow the Ramah and the Rosh, that Neder Echad is not believed against the Cheskes Hefer, you will be left scratching your head and saying, hey, wait a second. My wife is not Nemenes. So some of you may be saying, well, wait a second. Didn't we say Vesafala? Don't we know? Of course we're... Well, let's go back to that puzzle. What does Vesafala mean? Vesafala means she's Nemenes on the other end of the spectrum. She's Nemenes to say that she's no longer in Edom. She's Nemenes to say that she went to the mikvah. Vishpeit and that Gzeres HaKosov that she's Nemenes to say that she is in Edom. How do you know? So says the Sheish Maitza. Who says she's Nemenes? Now, hold off for a second. Do we analyze that? You have some other question?
Yeah. But we excluded Nida because it's a seus that shifts by nature. So we can't fall into the category of Dava Mutar that we go after.
Excellent. Henry, you were just mechavit to the Maharit. The Maharit who viewed Nida as being a chazaka ha'asui l'shtanos, and therefore it's not a chazaka. She's not a cheskes. Hetta not a cheskes. It's going. She's no chazaka altogether. It's a chazaka asui l'shtanos. L'chora, you're right. However, if you remember when we originally spoke about Vesafala, we pointed out that there are really two chazakas playing out in Nida. When a woman is a Nida, so she has a cheskes ro'adam, physically, biologically, she's been seen, so we're going to assume she's going to continue to see. And number two, even if she stops seeing, she's still cheskes iser. So the cheskes ro'adam, the biological chazaka, you knocked off very quickly by saying, it's a chazaka, so it's going to change because women's bodies come and go. But the cheskes iser shiva, there's only one thing that can change that, and that's going to the mikvah. So says Tosfos and says the Mashon and says the Sheish Maitza, the reason why she's believed to say she went to the mikvah is the magic word of biyada, same as the shechita from before. But wait a second, when the woman comes and says, when your wife tells you, I became a nida, it was biyada to become a nida, is that true? Maybe in today's world, maybe you can take pills in it, but let's put ourselves back into the old world. There's nothing a woman could do to make herself a Nida. It is impossible for to biologically construct that she's going to become a Nida. Therefore, on the tail end of the equation, when she's trying to get out of Nida status, there she may have a Chazaka in her, she may have a Biyada in her favor. But to become a Nida, it's always Biyada, no Biyada. So says the Sheish Baitza, he asks this with all seriousness. Explain to me, Lomdus, is a woman believed or not? Says the Sheish Baitza, according to everything we just learned for the last month, there's no reason why the woman should be believed.
We should say in the opposite direction. When we say a pisha asur,
a pesha she hit you a pesha also. That's very, very tricky. Pesha also is probably only worth the basachas. Like a woman comes and says, I'm married, and within the same breath, she says, I was divorced. A woman says she's married, and then 6 months later, she says, by the way, I got a get. That's not a pesha also anymore. So according to most Rishonim, it's not a Pesha Asur anymore. So this is probably not, this is the flip claw is probably not going to work here.
That's totally out of her control in this situation.
Totally, right. So the Sheish Maitza is sitting around and we're all scratching our heads. What did we just say? So Sheish Maitza goes one step further and he says, you won't believe this one. In terms of Hilchus Nemonos, in terms of getting the base of the base, the answer to this question is in Hachi Nami, in terms of pure Nemanos, she's not believed. So what does that mean practically? She tries to get to leave us hanging. One step further. There's a girl who we thought was single. All these years we thought she was single. She walks into Beis Din and says, I'm an Eishes Ish. What's the din? So the Mishnah says in the Sechus Subis that is she really truly Nemanos to say she's an Eishes Ish? No. Hey, what's our klal? She has no Nemanos to say she's an Eishes. We don't really believe she's an Eishes Ish. But there's another rule here. That's called Shavya Anavshe Chaticha de Isura. If you make an incriminating statement about yourself in the realm of Isur de Heter, although Beis Din doesn't quote unquote believe you, we believe you vis-a-vis yourself. We're going to treat you with all the negative consequences that you just said about yourself. And therefore, we will not let you remarry until you figure out how to get yourself a get. Even though we don't even think you're married in the first place, it doesn't matter. We, Mitab Atzmeinu, don't believe that you're married, but we're going to impose upon you, you have to act like you're married. That's the sugya of Shavna. That's a sugya, that's a sugya Mesechus Ksubas, a Mishnah Mesechus Kedushin. Shavya Anavshi Chetit Kedisura. Where in the world does this come from? So Chazal was silent. The Gemara never explained to us what the source of this did is.
So the challenge of that parallel is for her to come out of Aishas Ish, but she sort of like puts a nether on.
So, you said the bad word nether, but okay, let me continue. Yeah.
To take out of that parallel, she now needs Shneidim. 100%. But by Nida, for all she needs to remove herself from putting that cloud of Iser on her, is herself.
Correct. 100% right. 100% right. Now it's 100% right. But let's. I want to figure out that cloud of Iser. That was too vague. I want to figure out what the cloud of Iser is for our purposes. So let's go again. Let's go back to that model of Shabbat Shlichus Iser. So the fact that such a halacha exists, you can't argue it's in Mishnah, it's in Gemara, no shy without it. How it works, how the Chazal know it works, that was a huge machlokes nechronim. There was some achronim who said when I called Henry, I accused him of saying the bad word neder. There were some achronim who say, you know how Shabbat Nafshim works? We don't believe you bechlal. You have 0 degree of demonism. It's dumb shabbi every dumb shabbi books b'shtayim. But if you want to take a neder saying that you're not going to eat meat, you can take whatever neder you want. So you just took a neder saying you're not going to marry anybody because you're an Aishas Ish to Pliny. You took a personal neder. We don't believe you. Like Lamashal, a person says, this meat should be also to me. We don't think this meat is an avela. We just think you can't eat the meat because the Torah says, Le'achal Devar, you gave your word. So come a group of Rechwarim and say that the sugya of Ashadi and Afshay is a new sugya. It's just an extension of Parshas Nedarim. So that
the husband was not, if the woman says, I'm a Nida and she's Shadi and Afshay, and then she's with her husband, she does something wrong.
Oh, okay, okay, a second. That's going to be the conclusion of the Sheshmat in a moment. So let's just make sure we understand what this principle is of Shabbat Asher. We're going to begin to plug it in over here. So the Nevi Yehuda and the Ketzos are vehemently opposed to this idea. They say, this is not Nedarim. Now, if you're starting Nedarim tomorrow, what in the world does this have to do with Nedarim? You get to the base. If you read the first round in Nedarim, the base, you'll get to the realization that this has nothing to do with the Dorim. It's not a Lashon Neder b'chlal. Neder means, a guy says that the meat should be like a carbon. The whole shyness doesn't make it. This is not a Lashon Neder. The old Yesh Lahaksha says, I got a great kula. If Shavi and Nafshe is based on Pashas and Dorim, easy come, easy go. I'll go to the base. Then be Mata Neder. The Valdik. Shimon Arabonim Dayanam Mumchim. Next time I write my Kuzbul, I'll do a Torah to Dorim and I'll get it. Nonsense, doesn't it? So what is it? So Taka, what is Shavi and Ashe? So the Rebuda begins the picture, then the Ketzos supplements the picture. It's a Nemanos vis-a-vis yourself. It's a new kind of Nemanos. Normally Nemanos means either Beis Din accepts it or they reject it. Here, we accept your Nemanos legabe yourself. Where do we have such a concept? Says the Ketzos, we haven't been Nemanos. I walk into Beis Din and I say, I broke Reuven's window. I owe Reuven $1,000. Does Beis Din believe me or not? Of course they don't believe me. How could they believe me? And guess what? In the same breath, what are they going to tell me? Hodas Baldin, committed them. They're going to make me pay $1,000. The answer is, when it comes against me, vis-a-vis myself, that's the parasha of Hodas Baldin, committed them. How do you know that? That's already a possible chumash. That's the minimum. That's the basa from last year. So the Ketzai says that the parsha of Shavi Adash Chachachachi Sura in Issa Beheter is simply an extrapolation from the parsha of Hadas Baldin Kineinim Dami that has its roots back in Kedushin and Bavati and Bavasa and Tzubis. It's a Dinimominous concept that has now transferred into Issa Beheter. So the bottom line is, whether you like the Lumbus in the first Rechwarim, you like the Lumbus in the idea of the Ketzai, it's here to stay. Shavi Adash Chachachachi Sura comes, the Sheikh Shmaitza, who was the Ketzai, comes to Sheikh Shmaitza and makes the following statement. When your wife tells you that I am a Nida, this is what's happening in Lumbus. In terms of pure Lumbus, she's not Nemanis. Because she's going up against the Chazaka, and she doesn't have the other. It's not like when she tells you to meet a Scotia. When she tells you to meet a Scotia, she's Nemanis. Up he did. But when she tells you she's a Nida, she's not Nemanis. But what? She was just Shavya Nafshach, Dichad Yisura. She just created for herself the impossibility to be together with you. Because the feed of Arecha, she's a Surah to you. But guess what? Since the feed varea, she's a suit to you, how in the world are you going to be together with her? It's, you're going to facilitate that avera for her, what she's doing, it is her. So, mamela, you are set to heart. You're not, you want to call it fe'iva, you want to call it something, whatever you want to call it, but ba'atzmuso, in terms of intrinsically, the husband is not really to also to his wife, because he has no way of knowing, but she's in either that. Her statement is not chala, pi aloha. And therefore, her entire, quote unquote, nemonis, she's a need, is not a nemonis at all. It's simply a manifestation of the halacha called Shavya Anafsha Chaticha Disur. You have to think about that 100 times, and then don't tell your wife that. Basically just said, the woman is not nemenis to say she's a nida. It's a quirk that lamaisa they can't be together, but in terms of pure nemenis, it's not true. So we understand what prompted the Sheshmaitzah to say this razzle-dazzle, chiddush. But there's more to it that meets the eye. Says the Sheshmaitzah, I'm going to prove to you that I'm correct. Many, probably mostly everybody else disagree with this entire theory, but I'm going to prove to the Sheshmaitzah, the God loses the Hicha, his Chachmas HaTorah, I'm going to prove to you that I'm right. I'm going to prove to you from the following story. Maisa Shehoya Kachoya. It happened in Maisa Shehoya B'Tulutila, some town that involved the Chachmei Provence. Provence was southern France. In the days of the Sheshmaitzah, there was nothing going on in southern France anymore. Provence was its heyday, the days of the Rishonim. Provence was one of the three main Jewish communities. There were the Chachmei Sfarad, which was Spain and North Africa. That was one whole chelik of Jewish communities in the Middle Ages. Then there were the Chachmei Ashkenaz, which was basically Germany and France in that area, in the Rashi and the Valentosis. There was a third category, was southern France. Even though today we think of northern France, southern France, the same country, in the old days it was a little Kimech Tzafa Medar, but it was a different world of Gambri. It was actually much, much closer to Italy. It was a different culture, it was a different world, the Gambri, different Mahalach. And in southern France, in Provence, that people such as the Ravid lived there, the Malamor lived there, Chachmei Lunil lived there, a lot of great Gedolim, the Gedolim, Rishonim, lived in southern France, in Provence. So it was a Maisa Shoya Kachoya in Tultila, this place in southern France, in Provence, in the Middle Ages, that ran as follows. We'll give this very, very quick introduction. Chodesh, we're going to stop in a minute. The quick introduction to what the story was. A father walked into Beis Din one day, and he told us that he was Bekadish's younger daughter. Now, he's them one to say that, depending on Arif Tana. He has them one to say that. Okay, so we accepted his word. Then, a few weeks later, he comes back to us and tells us, it wasn't really true. Why did I tell you that story? I told you that story because people were bombarding her with shidduchim, and she was still in fourth grade. You know, I thought she was a little bit young, so I didn't want to accept anybody. Instead of telling Rosh Hashanah to stay away, I simply told him she's already Mekudeshes. Now, when she reaches fifth grade, she's ready to get married. So I'm telling you, based on she would have been a mumchim, she's ready to get married. The Beis is listening to this. A month ago, he told us she's married. And now telling us she's not married. When you make up some kind of a boomerang, kind of a story, does that work? Does that not work? So there was a major dispute that broke out in Provence as to what should the Beis Din do with this piece of information. The answer to this question is going to impact the Sheshmaitzah on our question about what is or is not going on when every single month a woman comes to tell us she's a nida. So stay tuned until Friday, trying to figure out what in the world that crazy case of Provence has to do with her.